Fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, it's Friday already, April 22nd. I don't know where time goes. I had some technical issues here with my computer today. I hope everything's working good out there. I'm coming through. I've been noticing that the camera's a little bit behind me, especially when I get going on. I don't know whether it's a computer issue or an internet issue, but we're trying to figure that stuff out so we're a little bit more solid with our programming. Appreciate all the guys joining us down there today. If you're out there listening on your phone, you can jump in here. Go to Coach. Just go to CoachDaveLive.com. We got a space open for you. If you want to jump in and be part of the program, love to have you join us. April 22nd, as I said, a lot busy weekend. We got a protest Planned Parenthood event this morning at Planned Parenthood here in Columbus, Ohio. Tomorrow from noon until 2, we have a statewide protest Planned Parenthood rally at the State House in Columbus on the West Lawn. So if you're not doing anything, get out there and join us. Or if you are doing something, cancel it and get out there and join us. I did a video yesterday. I was a little bit frustrated. You know, truth of it is, I'm going to talk a little bit about this today. Most people don't really give a damn. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. Gets right down to it. I was having a conversation with my wife about that the other day. Nobody really cares. They care. They care in a sense that, well, they think about it every once in a while. It's like saying, hey, do you care if the Cleveland Cavaliers won? Yeah, I care. I mean, I'm a Cavs fan. I care. You ever go to the games, paint your face? I don't care about it that much. What's the same thing with abortion? Hey, you care about abortion? Yeah, I care about it. Yeah, do you ever go to the clinic, paint your face, and hold a sign? Nah, I don't care that much about it. So that's really where we are. And I'm always amazed every time we go and every time we try to. Hey, folks, abortion is the bane of our our time here on the earth. You just go back through all of Christianity, and nowhere ever was slaughtering children okay. I mean, it just wasn't okay. Now the pagans did it, but at least when the pagans did it, there were those who were fighting against the pagans, saying, "Don't do that! Don't do that!" Well, today in America, we know in this internet age, in this age of mass communication, we know what's going on inside those clinics, and nobody cares. Especially, no pastors care. They don't care. That's the only thing I can say. It's like when I went to March for Life, and Roger, I think you've been to the March for Life, and I think Dylan took you with us one time. We go to the March for Life in Washington, D.C. There's 750,000 there, and you stand on the street, and you listen to some politician say, my name is Pat T-Berry from 18th District of Ohio, and I'm pro-life. And everybody cheers, and nothing ever changes. And all the people, 750,000 of them, go back home, and abortion goes on. They say, hey, see you next year. Be back next year at this time. We all go back the next year. 43 years been going back to the March for Life, and nobody gives a damn about it. They really don't. I'm just telling you, being honest today. They're frustrated. And one of the things that I'm trying to do with this little thing here is try to get you to give a damn. Try to get you to give a damn to the point. Does that make you nervous when I say damn? Try to get you to give a darn to the point where you actually do something about it. I'll give you an example. My wife, she'll hate this one. I was up last night. It wasn't too late, about 9:30, I think it was, maybe a quarter to 10. I'm doing some stuff on the internet. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw a movement. What's that? And I looked down. There's a mouse. There's a mouse in the house. So I grabbed my sweatshirt, and I chased him around, swatted at him a couple times. He's fast, little booger. I saw where he went. He went under the stove and hid. So I thought, I'm going to get him. I sat out there and waited for him. He comes crawling. First of all, he comes out. I don't even want to kill him. He's so cute, you know. He comes crawling out to sneaking around. Doesn't think he sees him. I swat at him again, miss him. I went up and got in bed. Our little granddaughter was with us last night. So I said, hey, there's a mouse in the house. Well, Michelle, whew, what? So she gets up this morning. What's the first thing Michelle asks? Hey, did you get that mouse? She asked me first thing this morning before she told me she loved me. Nah, yeah, I mean, I'll get him. Ain't no big deal. See, I care about the mouse, but I don't care enough to go get a trap and set it down there. She really cares about it. And you know what? You know what's going to happen? I'm going to set a trap and get rid of the mouse because it matters to her. And she's going to keep badgering me till I do something to get rid of that mouse. Well, they're killing babies, and we don't care, to the point where we're actually springing to action. I was setting up this weekend. We had this event at the State House, a statewide protest Planned Parenthood rally. Stay with me, guys. I'm going somewhere today. And I was making a list of speakers. And you know what happened to me? This is amazing. I was thinking, okay, what pastors could we have? What pastors could we have? How about this? That deserve the opportunity to stand up and speak to the crowd about abortion. I don't want some guy who's got a big church and never does anything but yap. Come on, what guy can I have? I have about two names come to my mind. That's about it. Two pastors that I knew, that I'd even seen at the clinic where they're killing babies. Then I asked, this one got even worse. I said, oh, golly, they're killing, a lot of the babies they're killing are black. Is there any black pastors? Anybody know any black pastors? No. Zero. Is that an Illuminati sign? Sorry. That's the Illuminati sign. Zero. No black pastors. But they're all pro-life. They're all pro-life. So I've been kind of assessing myself here a little bit. The effectiveness of what we're doing here. I don't think there's any doubt that I'm hearing on my email and stuff that we're getting into some truth some other guys hadn't thought about. But it has to move beyond that, guys. It has to move beyond it. And it was like when I spoke at Dallas. God, when was that? March, way back in March, spoke at Dallas. Went down there and they had all this tinfoil hat Christianity going on. It's all good. It's all true, probably. When my opportunity came to speak, I said, okay, listen, you got all this knowledge. You know about MK Ultras. You know about mind control. You know about drones. You know about the Nephilim. You know about everything. What are you doing now that you know everything? Is it just supposed to be information overload or fear porn, as they call it? Are you supposed to just get all this information and just sit on your couch and let it all go on? Or is the Lord allowing you to have that information because he wants you to do something with that information? And so I asked myself a very important question, which I'm asking everybody in the queue today. What's this life about? And better yet, what's this Christian life supposed to be about? When Jesus... For this purpose, 1 John 3:8, was the Son of God manifest that he would destroy the works of the devil. How's that supposed to manifest in our lives? What would that look like in our lives? Should it look like in our lives? And unfortunately, through pietism, which we did a little bit on that last couple weeks ago or a week ago, we've taken it and we just said it's just personal salvation, personal holiness. So don't cuss and don't chew tobacco and don't look at women. It's just all personal stuff. And I'm telling you, that's not where Jesus came. Now, he came to destroy sin. But it's so much bigger than that. It is so much bigger than that. And I don't want to be like a pastor in that people come to the church and they leave and say, boy, what a great show that was today. And then nothing changes. Nothing. I want to motivate you to action. I'm inspired every day to action. Larry, I want you to know this. I told my wife. My wife and I were driving home yesterday. Where were we? It doesn't matter. And she said something about the show because she's always listening. She's got it on upstairs right now. And she's mentioned you, Larry. She says, man, Larry always brings a good nugget of wisdom. I said, yeah. So I started talking about how some of the points that you've brought out, Larry, really have enlightened me. That's the way it's supposed to work, by the way. In a multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. We're supposed to go to church and the pastor bring up a topic and we're supposed to discuss it. Because the way I'm seeing this work is I say something or Roger says something, or something gets started, and next thing you know, JR's got a comment to make about it, and then Larry's got a perspective about it, and then Matt has a perspective about it. And when the whole thing's over, we're thinking, golly, I never looked at it that way or that way or that way. And so the idea of, see, education, teachers, the worst teachers are the lecturers, the ones who merely lecture. The best teachers are the hands-on, teaching you how to do it. That's one of the things I liked about Ken Hovind. When we went with Dr. Dino down to the museum, the Creation Museum down in Kentucky, Dr. Hovind said something that was pretty profound. He said, Coach, this is just a museum. It's just where people walk around and see things. He said, that's good. He said, you learn by doing. He said, evolution could be destroyed so easy if we just had interaction, if we showed people why it didn't work, let them do things with their hands. That's faith without works, see. That's hearing about faith as opposed to responding to faith. Hearing about abortion as opposed to trying to stop it. Hearing about men peeing in women's bathrooms or trying to do something about it. They're not the same thing. So some of us got really, really courageous. We called Target. That's it, man. We called Target. Well, I'll tell them. I'll tell them I'm never coming back there. Really? Okay. I'm working on a scheme. By the way, let me give you a heads up here. I'm going to ask you here in a second, kind of a self-evaluation here. Has this motivated you to do anything? Has this motivated you at all? What we're doing here. Not me. I'm not asking, have I motivated you? I'm asking you what we're talking about here, has it caused you to walk your talk more than it had? Because that's what I'm after. Larry looks like his arm's going to break there. Jared, let him jump in here real quick.
Coach, I've been one of those that cared about abortion for decades. Tomorrow, the wife and I are going to Planned Parenthood.
Amen.
130 miles away. And you can look at the handmade sign I made there.
I did say, man. Two alive, one dead, one hurt. That's it, brother.
And two go in alive, one comes out dead, one is hurt.
That's right, brother. That's for sure. Well, that inspires me then, Larry, that you're going to do that, because it does matter. It does matter. So listen, I'm going to give all of you a chance to talk here just a second. I got one I'm scheming with. I'm going to get close and whisper so nobody else hears. Can you guys hear me? I don't want anybody else to hear it, though. Here's what I think I'm getting ready to do. I've had enough. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to let them perverts take over our restrooms. I'm telling you, they're going to do it. Now, why are they going to do it? Because it's a demonic stronghold. I've never seen anything like the homosexual agenda. Never seen anything like it. Whole states now want to let a very small percentage of the people. What, 1%? It could even be 1%. We want to change all of our bathroom laws for 1%. It's a strong delusion, folks. Listen, it's a strong delusion. And what's happening to us right now is the exact same thing that happened to us with abortion and homosexuality and taking the Bible out, all of it. We moaned and groaned and griped and complained and didn't do a daggone thing about it. And as a result, here we are 43 years later, still trying to get abortion to end because we didn't fight at the very beginning. And if you can't see which way this river runs, I don't even know what to do. So I'm going to get a gaggle of guys. I'm working on a plan. I'm going to unleash it. Shh. I think I'm going to go get a group of guys and guard the restroom at Target. I'm going to stand outside with a group of guys outside, inside Target. And I'm going to hold a sign, stand in front of the men's restroom and say, men only. And I'm going to stand in front of the women's restroom and say, women only. I'm going to take a group of guys with me, and we are going to up the ante on Target. You understand? Because they ain't going to do anything if all we do is make phone calls. We've got to turn the heat up on them so badly. Now, hey, they're going to hate me. Can you imagine the stuff the media is going to say about me? Can you imagine? Well, I'm not going to be intimidated. I'm not going to be intimidated back into my closet anymore. Not going to be. I'm not. And I love talk radio, but I'm tired of talking. At some point, we have to put it into action. Oh, I got a lot to share with you today. I got some videos I want to show, but talk to me here. Been motivated or inspired at all? Weaver, let's start.
Hey, Coach,
with you.
I'll go,
Dylan.
Hey, I'll go real quick before I have to get back to work. But I've been really motivated by this and a lot by your teaching and your like-mindedness to what I have sometime. And a while back, I kind of headed up a men's Bible study at our church, and we did our own curriculum. We just men teaching men. And it kind of fell by the wayside, but I've been inspired by this to start that back up here at the end of May.
Awesome.
I got a couple guys with me who are really passionate about doing it. And like you said, I want to turn the fire up on these guys kind of the same way you've been doing here. I like teaching, and I like teaching the truth, and that's what I want to do. So
hey,
I'm
Dylan,
excited for that.
Dylan, good for you. Listen to this, brother. Oh, this is for all you guys. Listen, the devil never rests. He never rests. And the Lord has put his spirit inside of us, so we too will never rest. We ought to be running the devil out of town. And that idea, it doesn't even exist inside our churches. I was listening to a sermon the other day from some sissy old pastor, still trying to get men, we're talking about men, talking to him about, oh, you got to stick close to Jesus, and he's a friend, and he'll carry you through the hard times. I'm thinking, man up, will you? Man up! How old are you that you need some pastor to start telling you times are tough and you gotta go through them and Jesus will stick with you? Well, yeah, he lives in me. Come on, man. When are we going to man up? Sorry, Dylan, I really feel it. And God bless you, man. God bless you.
Well,
do it. Talk about the hard stuff, Dylan. Talk about the hard stuff.
And our church has tried many times to get a men's ministry, as much as that isn't even a men's ministry. They just want to have these prayer get-togethers or whatever. But, you know, I really just want to start something that could be a movement and that would really be something.
Dylan, do you know why most churches don't have effective men's ministries?
I'd say there's no real great passionate leaders there who are trying to do it.
And they don't know what to do. What does it mean to be in a men's ministry? Say, well, we want to go stop men from using women's bathrooms. What? Oh, no! See, this whole idea, Christian men have become such cats. Such feminine cats. That's all I can say. Hey, Roger. If some man went into a restroom when Gracie was in there and did something, brother, you'd be fit to be tied. Now, why doesn't that bother us that that might happen to somebody else's daughter? Are you your brother's keeper? Or is it just when it impacts you that we're supposed to be upset about it? You're supposed to lay down your life. Greater love is no man than this. He would lay down his life for his friends. Meaning what? Hey, you might get hurt. This may not end well for you. But it didn't end very well for most of the disciples. And it didn't end very well temporarily for Jesus either. The idea that we're going to win this thing without a battle, without a war, how stupid are we? Dylan, I remember you playing Miller, your first football game, first real football game. That guy about knocked your helmet sideways. You came running off the field with this big look in your eye. I said, yeah, man, they're going to try to knock you down. Devil's trying to knock us down, man. We're giving no resistance at all. We just say, oh, I'm pro-life. Anybody else jump in here?
Dave?
Yeah.
Well, a couple things here real quick on my side. I'm in my Bible like I've never been in my Bible before.
Praise the Lord.
I've never had this much consistency. What has drawn me to God's Word is good teaching, the camaraderie with the men in the morning. I wish I could roll up to a cold beer with a couple of them. I hope that wouldn't upset them. So my wife and I are talking more about some things. She listens in. I'm firmly convinced that the of much of what is happening in our church is because the full gospel is not being preached. There's no wrath being preached. There's no destruction being preached. I'm more convinced if I'm going to stay in this area, I've got to stay in His Word to balance the downside of our culture so that I'm able to be effective. I have forgotten that there's joy in the Lord, so I'm not always down and out. I am actively looking for conversations when people come into my office about topics we raise. I'm actively wanting to engage people one-on-one more in my office, and that's been beneficial. I believe that I need to actively attend the larger events. I'm trying to make room for those things. Had an active conversation with one of the leaders of the men's group at our church, which led him to have a rebellious conversation with staff about what was going on, and he was so grateful for the conversation that got him going.
Amen.
Went to the abortion clinic one time with you, took a friend there. None of these are big, huge things, but I'm also firmly convinced that it's one-on-one, wherever we can, however we can, and then asking the whole of God to guide for larger things. But we all can't be speakers. We all can't be headliners, but we can all do something. We can all be boots on the ground. So, you know, I don't know where this all goes, but I am grateful, Dave. I guess what I'm most grateful for is I'm reading my Bible more.
Amen.
I'm in His Word, and I'm just thankful for that. It you know, I wanted to be more than that, and so I thank you for your morning time and the other men that are participating. And I don't know where it all goes, but I'll be at Target. Give me advance notice if you can, and let me give a little input. And I think it's a great idea. I'm going to go to Target myself sometime soon and talk to the manager and see if I can go into the bathroom, because I'm just going to lay out the silliness of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go in and just say, I woke up this morning, I felt like a woman. Is it okay if it just happened this morning?
Yeah.
I'm going to look to help him with the silliness. So.
Well anyway. I want to draw attention to it. I want to go purposely draw attention to it, that this is ridiculous, and I, as a Christian man, am not going to put up with it. That guys, we're going to have to start doing more and more of that kind of stuff. It's not comfortable, and nobody likes that. And it is what it is. If we don't push back, we're going to get it. Anybody else testify there at all?
Well, am I on?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. This morning, as I was looking for directions of how to get to the clinic in Columbia tomorrow morning, I just happened to notice that there are not a whole lot of abortion clinics in South Carolina.
Praise the Lord.
There is one 800 number, 1-800-ABORTION. For women can get this, and it's in every, you know, I checked on, you know, a few states and checked the Google searches, and it's a nationwide 800 number where girls can find out where to go get abortions and all that and everything. And I'm thinking, you know what, how difficult would it be for a women's ministry to do something and organize call list? They're hopefully, there's supposed to be a whole bunch of pro-life women in this country. Wouldn't it be neat if 100 of them every 5 minutes was calling that number across the nation and keeping the line busy so that nobody could get in and schedule an abortion?
Wow, Larry, I like the way your mind works. That's good. Those proactive things we do. Yes, yes. So maybe somebody will pick that up and run, or I'll get one of my daughters to do it. Anybody else?
Oh, well, I have a word for Roger real quick. Not specifically a word from God or anything, but just a word for him. Hey, you're looking for things to do? We can use courthouse coordinators or division district coordinators in the state you live in.
Hey, Larry. Larry, they shot a Lavoie Finicum in cold blood, and nobody gives a damn. I mean, there are a few, but right? Nobody cares. Nobody cares about it. So, oh, well, poor guy.
Oh, a whole bunch of them care enough to push a like button.
Yeah,
only about one out of every five that pushes a like button cares enough to sign up and get involved.
Larry, go, Larry. It's like I told somebody. For some people, the most courageous thing they do in regard to Jesus is they like him on Facebook. That's about where we are. I like him on Facebook. But other than that, I ain't going to be identified with him in any other way. Anybody else want to jump in here real quick?
Yeah, I'll make a comment, Dave, that, you know, my wife and I, we've just about had it with the church thing like Roger was talking about. We have a small bed and breakfast here in Findlay, Ohio, and hopefully by June 1st, we will be having our first church service here. We're in the process of putting up a small building to do that. There will be the headliner is going to get to be the demonic spirits. Satan is going to get the headline at our church, and I'm going to tell you what, it's going to be one of those things where we're going to talk about the homosexuality and the abortion issue and the whole works. We're going to lay it on the line. We're not going to be taking donations that we got to give a receipt out at the end of the year so you can take it off your taxes. Screw it. We're going to tell it the way it is. So anybody that wants to come stay at a bed and breakfast that's on this group, you got a free invitation. Not going to cost you a penny, and you can include church service on Sunday morning.
Well, my wife and I will come up, Larry. And Matt. And you touched on something I think is really important. I've been trying, I guess this is a central focus of what we're trying to do here. I'm trying to make everybody aware of how real evil is and how organized evil is. And I'm just convinced it's a strong delusion everywhere you look in America. It's just unbelievable. The stupid things that people are believing. The stupid things I hear people say. Especially what?
Especially in the homosexual movement. I mean, I'm going to tell you what, the homosexual thing, as quickly as that's come on, that has got to be Satan driving
people.
It
has to be evil-driven.
People not care.
It has to be evil-driven. I couldn't agree more. And until we realize that's what we're dealing with, see, if we just think it's a political issue or a psychological issue, we don't understand that strong man, that demonic principality and spirit. As I said yesterday, NRA said, or the elected representative said, they're more powerful than the NRA, the homosexual movement. Why is it? Because it is demonically powered. Now, you can laugh. I'm not talking to you guys. People, listen, you can laugh all you want to. I'm here to tell you it's demonically powered. I'm here to tell you the devil's real. I'm here to tell you he has gone crazy in every aspect of society, and we're letting it happen. How else can you explain the folks that we have running for president of the United States? How can you explain that out of all this great nation, the people that we have risen to the top of it? If we talk about Trump and all that stuff, well, Trump's a doer, but I mean, from a moral standpoint, are you kidding me? This is the best that we get? We get the leadership? Hillary Clinton? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Bernie Sanders? I'm telling you, folks, it's a strong delusion. It's a principality. It's a power. It's an evil force. And it's happening because the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And for the most part, good men have done nothing. Voted. Yeah. Called target. I'm going to start a national movement. You watch. We're going to start a national movement of men showing up at targets. Guarding the restrooms. Oh, they're going to go nuts. It'll be great. It's going to be great. Anybody else? JR? Anybody in there? Because I do have something to talk about. Okay, cool. Well, let's move forward then. What do you think of my target idea? Huh? I'm going to have to talk to my lawyer friend because, hey, I think right now, Roger, what are they going to be able to charge me with if I stand outside the restroom and guard the restroom? Trespassing? They're going to ask me to leave and trespass?
Well, I think that the first go around is you just start and see what happens. I think it would be an interesting thing. I think they may eventually ask you to leave and you could get arrested for something, but
that'd be worth it.
I think the first thing is you're just testing the waters, and with I think the appropriate signage and a spirit of we're doing this. And quite frankly, I think a few men need to go in. I honestly think the water should be tested on the issue of this morning I woke up and I felt like a woman, so I can go in there, right?
How about we just get a line of men going into the women's bathroom?
Yes, I agree. But so anyways, I think what will also be interesting is if you gave this another week or so before you did it, it'll be interesting because, you know, most people are going to stop going to Target who strongly feel So you're going to be in a den of trouble. You know what I'm saying?
We are, but we want to make sure other companies know not to do it. You know, Disney owns ESPN. You saw what they just did to Curt Schilling. They fired him for the same issue. We better understand our media, our mass media is demonically controlled, brothers. It is so demonically controlled. There's unbelievable power behind it. So we got to be aware of that. So I'm going to do it. I've already spoken to a couple guys who'll do it with me. All they'll get us for is trespassing, I think, Roger. I don't know. That's not a hate crime yet. I don't think we have transgendered bathroom laws in Ohio, do we? I mean, I can't think of what law I'm breaking. Not that I care, because I'm not afraid to break the stinking law.
Yeah, well, Dave, you need to watch out, because it may not be a statute hate crime yet, but like Roger said yesterday, they can amend that ticket.
Yeah, they'll make it one, won't they? Hey, brother, you got to go down for something. That's the way that I see it. And I really, truly see this. I really see this as being so important because, again, it's the abortion issue. It's the gay marriage issue. It's right. The devil keeps pushing, and we never push back. And what's our only response? To call the daggone local cops or call our legislators and try to get them to legislate something. And how's that working for us, boys? How's that working? It ain't working. It ain't working. Got a video I'm going to show you. Hey, as we're getting to the video, open up Jeremiah. Hey, let's do this. Boy, I gave you about 3 of them this morning, Jared. Let's do the Matt Tuella thing there, the lesser magistrate. Guys, listen. This is very short. It's about 3 minutes. We the people are the ultimate deciders. We are. It ain't George Bush. As he said, I'm the decider. No, it didn't. It didn't the Supreme Court. It didn't any of that. We're the ultimate deciders. And the Supreme Court, nobody's going to move till we decide that we're going to make them move. It ain't going to be anything that's going to change. And here's the truth. We are getting zero leadership from our pastors. Zero leadership. Right now, there ought to be pastors getting together and figuring out how to protect the restrooms. Pastors ought to be doing that. Pastors ought to have their entire congregations out in front of Planned Parenthood. Pastors should. They're the last ones to come. That's our problem. Now, Pastor Matt Tuella did this brief video, I think it's about 3 minutes, on the lesser magistrate and that we are the lesser magistrate. Go ahead and play that, Jared, if you can, and get Jeremiah out when we come back.
The role of the people regarding the doctrine of the lesser magistrates is huge. The people have a duty to protest immoral or unjust laws. Do you remember the story about Governor Petronius defying Emperor Caligula regarding his immoral law of putting the statue in the temple? The people played a massive role in the outcome of that story. When the people first met with Petronius, he didn't listen to what they had to say. In fact, he responded to them by saying this: "If indeed I myself were emperor and were at liberty to follow my own inclination, and then had designed to act thus, these your words would be justly spoken to me. But now Caesar has sent to me. I am under the necessity of being subservient to his decrees, because a disobedience to them will bring inevitable destruction."
Same thing the pastors say.
The Jews were not dissuaded by what Governor Petronius said. They didn't all just pack up and go home. In fact, rather, tens of thousands of them then came out to protest this immoral law of the emperor concerning his statue. In fact, their protests went on for the next 2 months. And finally, Governor Petronius, so moved by the reasonings of their arguments, sent word to the emperor that he would not obey his immoral law. Governor Petronius concluded his speech to the Jews by saying, "And may God be your assistant, for his authority is beyond all the contrivance and power of men. And may he procure you the preservation of your ancient laws, and may not he be deprived, though without your consent, of his accustomed honors. But if Caligula be irritated and turn the violence of his rage upon me, I will rather undergo all the danger and affliction that may come either on my body or my soul than see so many of you perish while you are acting in so excellent a manner. Therefore, every one of you, go your way about your own occupations and fall to the cultivation of your ground. I will myself send to Rome and will not refuse to serve you in all things, both by myself and by my friends. The impact the people had upon Governor Petronius is evident. Notice that tens of thousands of them protested before him. The people have a duty to protest unjust or immoral laws. The role of the people in applying the doctrine of the lesser magistrate is to protest before the lesser magistrate and then rally behind him when he takes a stand.
Amen.
People don't act. Usually the lesser magistrates won't act either. To learn more about the doctrine of the lesser magistrates.
Okay, that's good enough there.
Magistrate.com.
Did you hear what he said? It's so critical. If the people won't act, neither will the magistrates. If the people don't turn up the heat, the magistrates will not see the light. That, my friends, is the truth. And because we never turn up the heat, they never see the light. There's never any consequence. We're never willing to reach the point where we actually stand up for what we claim to believe. We never, ever move to the point of getting out of our comfort zone and stepping out on the streets and say, no, no. We never reach that point. And we never have leaders who will take us out to do that. The pastors won't do it because they said the same thing that Caligula said. What? I can't do it. My boss says I can't. Well, who's the pastor's stinking boss? The government or the Lord? Say, Coach, you seem like you're kind of upset. Yeah, damn right I am. Damn right I am. Who do you serve? Who do you serve?
Hey, Dave?
Yes.
You made an error a while ago in what you said. You said that pastors have zero leadership. No, the truth is the pastors have negative, harmful leadership.
I agree with that, Larry. You're nicer. I'm nicer than you. They're negative leadership. It's negative leadership. They take a guy, gets a little bit of fire in him, and they hoist their leg and leak all over it. They take the passion out of a man because it doesn't fit their agenda. They strip him of his manhood. It's negative, Larry. You're right. You're right. Jeremiah, you there? What are you holding up there? Roger is trying to read what you're holding up.
A card. I'm writing to my pastor.
Okay, good, man.
You want me to read it? You want me to read it?
Do you want to read it?
Yeah, I'll read it. Hope your knee is doing better. Thank you for your strong message on manhood last Sunday. I was reading in Ezekiel right now. Never forget your role as shepherd of the sheep. If you do forget, he's going to remove you.
Amen.
Ezekiel 34, 7 through 15. Men are looking for men to follow and learn from. Be one. And I'm not
praise
done
the
yet.
Lord. Oh, good. Well, here, you can throw this one on there. Remember, guys, we're in Jeremiah, right? Jeremiah 1. Remember, the Bible is not just stories, it's principles. It's principle. If he has this principle in Jeremiah, that principle does not change with Roger. I change not, Bible says, right? I change not. Got it right up there on your screen. King James Version, no less. And then I want you to go to verse 4. Verse 4, okay? This principle applies to every Christian man. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed thee in the belly. Think about that. Before you even were formed, I knew you. And before you camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. It's like the Cleveland Browns saying, we need a quarterback. And somewhere out there, the Lord is bringing a quarterback into somebody's womb. It might be 22 years before they get him, but he's being ordained right now to be the quarterback. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I can't speak. I'm just a guy who goes to church and sits on the pew. My pastor, he does all the talking. He's the guy you want to talk to, Lord, not little old me. The Lord said unto me, stop being a baby. For you shall go to all that I send thee. And whatsoever I tell you to do, I command you, you're going to speak it there, big boy. Don't be afraid of their faces. Boy, I'd stop right there and preach. For I'm with you. Why is he with you? To deliver you. So I'm going to send you into the battle, and I'm not only going to be with you, I'm going to deliver you through it, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said to me, Roger, I've put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over nations and over the kingdoms to root them out, to pull them down, to destroy them, to throw them down, and to build and to plant. I could go on, but I'll stop there. Jeremiah's good. Read that first chapter of Jeremiah. We're all ordained of the Lord to stand up and speak the truth. We all are ordained of God to do that. But we've lost our vision, or we've lost our courage. And so, Raj, I'm sitting around thinking, I'm sick. And is anybody else sick and tired of what's going on in those toilets? I'm sick and tired of it. Well, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am. Where is that? Isaiah? Isaiah, go there. Real quickly. I think it's Isaiah 4. No. Ezekiel, where is that? Okay, so what are you talking about, Coach? I hate it when I do that. I thought I knew right where it was. I hate soundness. Oh, thank you, Lord. 6. Isaiah 6. I hear the pages turn. That's a good sound. Isaiah 6, verse 1. The year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, and each one had 6 wings, and with twain, 2 wing covered his eyes, and 2 he covered his feet, and 2 just flapped. He's just sitting there in attention, waiting for orders from the Lord. And one cried unto another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved to the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. So Isaiah sees the Lord, and his magnificence is so unbelievable. Isaiah says in verse 5, woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. Isaiah just had seen, and everything else. He just got one look at the Lord, and he realized how frail and miserable he was. Then one of the angels, seraphims, flew over to me, had a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongues of the altar. Think of that, tongues of the altar. He laid it upon my mouth, and he said, lo, this has touched your lips, and your sin is taken away. Your sin is purged. And also I heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will I go for us? Think about this a second. Isaiah is undone. The Lord sends an angel with a coal, touches him on his mouth, says, I've cleaned you. I've cleansed you of everything, Isaiah. I've cleansed you of everything. And then after he does that, what's the Lord say? Huh, I wonder who will go for me. Get the picture. The Lord's almost like playing a joke. Will anybody go? He's just done this for Isaiah. He's done this wonderful thing for Isaiah. And he says, okay, will anybody go now? Will anybody go looking around with Isaiah sitting right in front of him? And Isaiah probably feels about that small. And what's Isaiah say? All right, here I am, Lord. Send me. That's so cool, isn't it? So cool. Think of how many guys, if you're football fans at all, or any kind of sport fans, think how many insignificant guys became household names because of one great play they made during the course of a game. Just one play. made him famous?
Doug Williams.
I mean, I can name 100 of them. They're always known for that play, Doug Flutie. That one play. When that opportunity came, they made that one play. Guys, that could be us. That could be us. We could make that one play that would radically transform everything. That one play, Lord says, who will go? Who I send and who will go for me? And here I am, Lord, I'll go. And that my obedience to go might ignite something beyond what I could ever, ever, ever imagine could happen. It might not do anything. But it might ignite a fire. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, Dave, I just read a little past where you stopped at.
I figured you did.
And as many times as I've read this, I've never seen this before. God didn't send Isaiah to go. God sent Isaiah to go tell the people, hey, you've been not listening, keep not listening. Don't even understand what little bit you do here. Mm. God said, you go tell the people that your hearts are going to get dull and things are going to go bad. And Isaiah said, well, how long do I have to send this message? And God said, until they're destroyed.
Oh, boy, so much Jesus loves everybody, huh, Larry? He said, Isaiah, you go tell them they're fat and sassy, they won't pay any attention to anybody, and keep on doing it because they're going to pay for it.
That's exactly right.
He didn't say, go tell them how much I love them.
That was the voice of God coming out of Isaiah's parts and purified mouth by the coals.
Go tell them how much Jesus loves them.
Larry, what verse is that that takes them to until they are destroyed?
Just keep writing, read right on, Robert.
Verse 11.
Okay.
Then said the Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without men, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord hath removed men far away, and there will be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Removing men far away. That's going on right now, isn't it? Okay, I got another video here real quickly. Guy, this is going too fast. Let's get that first clip. This is from Braveheart. This is so important for us to get, guys. This is about 4 minutes, I think. William Wallace gets ordained.
Knight thee, Sir William Wallace. Sir William,
Lord,
in the name of God, we declare and appoint thee guardian and high protector of Scotland, and thy captains as aide-de-camp. Stand and be recognized.
Politics?
No.
Anyone knows?
The commoners could unbalance everything. Berrios will kiss his arse, and so we must.
Even back.
Sir William!
Sir William, inasmuch as you and your captains hail from a region long known to support the Balliol clan, may we invite you to continue your support and uphold our rightful claim.
Yeah, we've been Republican.
Gentlemen, now is the time to declare a king.
And you're prepared to recognize our legitimate succession.
You're the ones who won't support the rightful
claim.
Vote Trump! Vote Cruz!
I demand recognition of these documents.
These documents are right when you look at them.
Hey! Sir William, where are you going?
We have beaten the English. Because you won't stand together.
What will you do?
I will invade England and defeat the English on their own ground.
Invade? That's impossible.
Why? Why is that impossible? You're so concerned with squabbling for the scraps from Longshank's table that you've missed your God-given right to something better. There's a difference between us. You think the people of this country exist to provide you with position. I think your position exists to provide those people with freedom. And I go to make sure that they have it.
Wait! I respect what you said, but remember that these men have lands and castles. It's much to risk.
And the common man that bleeds on the battlefield, does he risk less?
No. But from top to bottom, this country has no sense of itself. Its nobles share allegiance with England. Its clans war with each other.
Aye. Aye.
If you make enemies on both sides of the border, you'll end up dead.
We all end up dead. It's just a question of how, why.
I'm not a coward. I want what you want. But we need the nobles.
We need them.
Aye.
Now tell me, what does that mean to be noble? Your title gives you claim to the throne of our country. But men don't follow titles. They follow courage. Now our people know you. Noble and common, they respect you. And if you would just lead them to freedom, they'd follow you. And so would I.
See, guys, every one of us, whether you know it or not, every one of you have the ability to lead somebody to freedom. There are people out there who will follow. And what we, you know, they're talking about the nobles. I'm not trying to be condescending here. They're talking about the nobles are the government guys, the guys in positions of power. And we know that the guys who are in positions of power think they're more important than everybody else. And Braveheart says, you guys got it wrong. The people in power are supposed to be serving the people. And if the people aren't being served by the people in power, they got to do something about it. People will follow you. The fields are white out there for folks who've had enough of it, who are sick of what's going on. They've had enough of it. In the churches. Sitting in Roger's church are so many men who are sick of it as well. If Roger's sick, he's not the only one. Matt, you start a gathering and you start putting good stuff out there, they'll come. You don't have to preach every Saturday, Sunday, whatever you do. You don't have to do that. You have the internet, you can show videos, you can show what other people have said, you can bring the truth to people. This is what we have to begin to do. We have to begin to spread and share that truth. JR is up tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I'm going to show you one more video and then we're going to be done here today. JR is tomorrow at 10 o'clock. What you got going on, JR?
Religion, sex, and politics.
It's all good stuff. Religion,
Action
sex,
Radio. Action Radio. Going to try to get a hold of Mike Heath and maybe interview him for the show tomorrow as well.
Good. I'm trying to get Mike on Hagman and Hagman. I don't know if he's heard from him yet, but good stuff's going on. Listen, we're going to get what we put up with. It's just the reality of it. We're going to get what we put up with. And I want to kind of end today's show with this last segment from Braveheart. We've all heard it, but just let it settle into your heart, because it's going to be April 21st, 2017 before you know it. I mean, it's going to get here so quick. And if we don't move now, we're going to be in worse shape than we are today, which is the exact point that William Wallace makes in this very famous scene. Go ahead and play it there. Jared.
Selves on this battlefield. I give you thanks.
This is our army. To join it, do you give homage?
I give homage to Scotland. And if this is your army, why does it go?
We didn't come here to fight for them.
Oh, the English are too many.
Scotland. I am William Wallace.
William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. He kills men by the hundred. And if he were here, he'd consume the English with fireballs from his eyes and bolts of lightning from his arse. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that?
No!
We will run!
And we will live. Aye. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
So, in all honesty, that's where I see we are. If we could go back to 1973, if we'd stood up then, think of all the lives that could have been changed, saved, changed. Families could have been blessed. Blessings to the Lord. In 1973, had we not loved our miserable little lives so much? In 2001, when they legalized sodomy, we just stood up then and pushed back. We wouldn't have all this mess we have now. And at some point, we're going to have to make a decision. If we could look down the road 5 years from now, we would understand the importance of where we are right now. And that's what William Wallace said. If you could go back many years and look back to where you would say, oh man, if I just had that chance, if I could just do that over again. You never get the chance to do it over again. You only get the chance to do it while the opportunity is before you. So that's why I'm trying to inspire men to action. Only action will win this fight. Only the Lord will win it, but he'll win it through our action. He will, guys, he will honor obedience. He said, I'm with you to deliver you. He honors obedience. And those of us who work our whole lives to try to leave something to our children, we can leave them houses and bank accounts and everything. We don't leave them liberty and freedom, the ability to live a righteous life. What Paul said, it's dung. Everything else is dung. It's dung. It's where we are. And we have to arise, fellas, and begin to push back. JR, 10 o'clock tomorrow. Planned Parenthood. Larry, I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you for going down there. And I'm going to go this morning. That's why I'm trying to – I got to get out of here pretty quickly. I got to go to Planned Parenthood this morning. Hey, how many people in all of Columbus are going to care about unborn babies enough to show up, you suppose? 100? And why won't the elected officials answer, do something? Because we don't care. We gotta go shopping. Whatever. Hate to be negative, boys, just showing you the game films. Hurry up, grill, come here real quick. Come here. Hurry up. Hurry up. Hurry up. I had a guest last night. Come on. Come on. Come on. This is what it's about. Right there's what it's about. Huh? I don't want her to be spitting on my grave 30 years from now say, Grandpa, if you'd only done this, if you'd only done that. Right there's what it's about. Tell them you love them, Reese. Say, love you guys. See you next time.